We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
How does God refresh us spiritually? How does God work within our lives to refresh us on the inside? So we've been looking at how the presence of God is so important to that. The Word of God is so important to that. And Jonty looked at last week at how developing those habits of being in God's presence, being aware of God speaking to you, getting into that habit of connecting with God makes a real difference. And as we make that a lifestyle, and we pray that you make these things, these habits a lifestyle coming into 2020, that God will continue to move powerfully in your lives. And one of the greatest gifts that God has given us to refresh us is the people around you, probably sitting right next to you today. They are the people that God has placed around your life to encourage you, to give you that timely word of encouragement to say, hey, you can do this. You know, God is good. Keep going. You know, and just giving you that kind of, that word of encouragement that's just the right time in the right place. It makes a tremendous difference. It's kind of like a booster shot, isn't it? It's kind of like, yeah, just kind of keeps you going. And don't think that relying on other people is kind of a, you know, shows your weakness. You know, we live in a society, isn't it, where we celebrate the success of the individual. But there is a place for relying on our extended family, our immediate family and our extended family, our spiritual family. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says this, walk with the wise and become wise. There you go. Walk with the wise and become wise. In other words, hang around with good people and they will encourage you. They'll strengthen you. Psalm 1 says that if you are around good people who are encouraging you, who are speaking words of life into your life, then you'll be like a tree that grows strong and you'll be nourished and it'll be evident by the fruit in your leaves that there's good coming into your life and you'll produce goodness from your life. And if we have that culture of encouragement here at St. Martin C3, where we're there for each other, we're there to speak positive things into each other's lives, that we notice when that appropriate word of encouragement is needed in someone's life, that will make a difference. I think that would be an awesome place to be. It'll be an awesome culture to create as part of our church family. And this was something that Paul tried to create in the churches that he established in the New Testament. And we see a number of churches that Paul writes to and writes words of encouragement to them. And he often addresses in his letters and he says, hey, I really appreciate you guys. I think you're awesome. You're encouraging me and I'm encouraging you. It's awesome to have those relationships. It obviously refreshed Paul and he also refreshed them. A good example of this is Paul's relationship with one of his colleagues, Timothy. Paul was miles away from Ephesus, wasn't able to get back to the church at Ephesus and one of the churches that he helped establish and encourage them. So he sends Timothy back to Ephesus to go, look, you need to sort out some tricky issues that are happening in the church back there. And Timothy, to be honest, was struggling a bit. He was a young guy, and he came into the church and he said, come on, guys, you need to follow what God's word says. You need to follow what the Spirit of God is saying and what he's saying to us at the moment. But there was obviously some strong leaders in the church that went, no, who are you and who do you think you are telling us what to do? We're going to do our own thing. And they were leading the church astray, and this was grieving Paul. And so he writes his first letter to Timothy, encouraging him to, you know, be strong and to take on this difficult situation. Obviously, Timothy writes back, or the situation doesn't improve that much, and Timothy becomes even more discouraged. And so Paul writes to him another letter, which we refer to as 2 Timothy. And then he makes, in this letter, he's a little bit more personal, and he tries to encourage Timothy as best he can. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1
In verse 3, we read this. This is Paul addressing Timothy. He says, "I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers." In other words, Paul is consistently praying for Timothy. And he's letting him know, look, I really care about you. I'm praying for you every day. "Recalling you with tears, I long to see you, so that I might may be filled with joy." So you can see that there's this close companionship. There's this working relationship where Paul really cares about Timothy. And he's trying to say, look, you can do this. Verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. In other words, Paul's encouraging Timothy again to go, look, I know it's a difficult situation there, but I believe in you. You can do this. And Timothy obviously needed this word of encouragement from Paul. And we all need that from time to time, don't we? We all need a group of people around us, and maybe just a few key people around us who are encouraging us, who are spurring us on the way of what God is doing in our lives and how he's working. Well, what does that look like? Well, let's unpack these verses a little bit more. In those first couple of lines, in those the verses 3 and 4, we see Paul's care for Timothy. And if we want to encourage others, if we want to be a church where it's a healthy place to be, where people are growing into the call of God that God has placed on their lives, we need to care for each other. We need to be looking out for each other. We need to be praying for each other. How often do you pray for your family members? How often do you pray for people you know? Is that expressed in your spiritual life, that care that you have for others? I think one of the problems that we have in our busy lifestyles, and you know, we're just so busy doing all this stuff, is that we assume that someone else knows that we care for them, but we actually don't express it. And you know, sometimes we have to think about, okay, what could I do this week? Maybe it's just a habit that we get into where we go, how do I express that I am really there for that person? I'm actually praying for them. I'm actually thinking of them. I actually really do care. Just a few weeks ago, we had Christmas, didn't we? And Christmas is one of those times where it's kind of obvious how much care or thought goes into presents. You know, sometimes we, Jenny and I, go up north and we meet with some of our extended family, and I could tell that our cousins, because they kind of feel like they got to give us something for presents. So they go, don't send this recording anywhere up north, just by the way. And so the cousins often buy us like a box of favourites or a box of scorched almonds, because they kind of go, well, I don't know what Warren and Ginny or that family wants, so I'll just buy them something, you know. And that's kind of nice, isn't it? It's nice that you get a present. But it's so much more powerful when someone close to you has put a bit of thought into, what do you actually need? What's something that's really you? It's a really thoughtful present. And so hopefully this Christmas you got some people around you that actually didn't just give you scorched almonds or socks, but actually put some thought into a present and gave you something that was meaningful to you. What does that communicate? It communicates care. It communicates love. Now, I did get some of those presents, by the way. My family did very well. You know, it's not just love assumed, it's love expressed. And maybe we can get into the habit of expressing love to each other in a really caring, meaningful way, not just a sort of a cursory, oh yeah, I'm praying for you, but a meaningful, yeah, I am praying for you. You know, we're really there for each other. What does that look like in a church environment like this? Well, one of the things that it looks like is getting to know the other person. Paul knew Timothy well. He knew what he was going through. He knew the struggles that he was going through. And one of the things that I really appreciate about church life is connect groups, where people have the opportunity to say, hey, this is what I'm going through this week. This is what you can pray for me for. This is some of the struggles that I've been having. And people asking meaningful, heartfelt questions, and they really care because they want to pray specifically for you. And then the couple of weeks later when you meet up again asking, well, how did that go? And trying to get some feedback. It actually shows that, hey, I really care. That's what it looks like in a church family. It's seeking to appreciate what the other person is feeling. So often in church life, we've got to be so careful we don't give just glib, cliche responses. You know, we can do that, and you've probably been on the receiving end of that where someone says, oh, well, I'm not doing so well, and you kind of, you know, you get a slap on the back, oh, well, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and you kind of go, yeah, not helpful. Well, I know it's the word of God, but, you know, why is it not helpful? Because here's the thing, you know the person is just trying to move away from the conversation and just give you a word that kind of is this cliche cover-all. But do you actually want to listen? Do you actually want to listen to what I'm going through? Do you want to actually feel what I'm feeling? Are you going to actually make the time to hear me out? So let us do that. Let us be like Paul was with Timothy, where he actually gave them the time to listen and actually appreciate what he was feeling, what he was going through. And express it in ways where it communicates to them that, hey, I'm not alone. So often in life, when we go through difficulties, we know that other people can't do a lot about the situation that we're facing. They can't solve the problem for us. But to just know that we're not isolated, to know that there are people around us that care enough to ask us, to ask about us, to find out what's going on, to keep praying, that's what care looks like. And so one of the things, one of the ways that we can relate well, one of the refreshing ways that God uses community is, first of all, care. Just that we love each other. You know, as the old saying goes, you know, people don't want to know how much, don't care how much you, nah, I've lost it, haven't I? You know what I mean, don't you? Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Fraser. Care how much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah. See, that's the thing. When you don't write it in your notes, you're trying to do it off the top of your head. So let's care for each other. Let this 2020 be a year where we refresh each other by caring for each other, by praying for each other. And let it be meaningful. Don't let it be just like cliche and shallow, but really meaningfully connect with each other. The second thing that we see in this relationship between Paul and Timothy is that Paul believed in Timothy. He really believed that he was the man for the job. He didn't give up on Timothy. He didn't go, when Timothy wrote back and said, mate, this is really hard. These guys aren't changing. I don't know if this is working out too well. Paul didn't go, oh, look, don't worry about it, mate. I'll sort it out later. Just come back. No, he says, no, Paul, Timothy, you're the man for the job. You can do this. And I think one of the massive things that being a part of church community gives us, the encouragement to spur us on into the calling that God has for our lives, is a few people giving that timely word of belief into our lives. It makes a massive difference. It made a massive difference in my life. One of my mentors who I value and really appreciated over the years, and I know I've mentioned his name several times, is Don Ferguson. He was a previous senior pastor here at South City, and he was amazing, and he just gave me tremendous opportunities. And one of the things that was really meaningful to me is he said, you know, Warren, I believe you can do this. And when I didn't believe in myself, he believed in me. And we need people like that around us, don't we? People that believe in our potential more than we believe in ourselves. And so often we can't see it. We think, oh yeah, I'm kind of average. I just muck along with life and I'm doing okay. And someone else comes alongside us and goes, you know, you could do that. So you're so good at that. And you go, really? You know, but that's just easy. That's just what I do. But, you know, it's someone identifying that and encouraging you in that and saying, no, you're great at this. Do it more. This is what God's calling you to do. And seeing things in you that you can't see in yourselves. I think it makes such a big difference. And I don't know about for girls, but I know for guys, this is a really big deal. Is guys need people to believe in them. They need their dads to believe in them. They need other guys to go, hey, you're great at this. They need their wives to go, hey, I think you're a bit of a legend at this, you know. Especially when you fix something around the home that you really didn't think you could fix. And then you fix it, and your wife kind of goes, oh yeah, cool, that's all right. You know, yeah, we need a bit more than that, okay? We need you to kind of pour over us and go, oh mate, you're a legend. That's awesome. You know? You see, it's true, isn't it? You know? And probably goes back the other way. When they cook that meal for you, that's just amazing. You got to give them a bit of feedback, okay? And go, oh, this is great, you know, this is awesome. It goes both ways. It's that sort of encouragement. It's that, hey, I believe in you. You know, the books would say that, you know, that women need more nurturing from us. You know, and I think that's somewhat true. You know, kid falls over and scrapes his knee. Who do they run to? They tend to run to mum because they know that mum's going to stick a plaster on it. You know, dad's probably just going to go, oh, yeah, harden up. You know, it's all right. Move on. But, you know, there's that nurturing stuff. But what do they need from dad? They need that belief. You can do this. You can conquer this. You can nail this. You can do this. You know, we've spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks doing this. You know, you can get up on the wakeboard. You can get on that biscuit. You can hold on. You can do this. You know, so do it. Believe in people. Believe in your children. Believe in your husband and wife. Believe in people around you and express that. And like often you see it, don't you? You see someone do something around the church and you think, hey, that's awesome, that's great. But do you actually encourage them in that? And when you see someone do something that you go, hey, that's actually really cool, encourage them. And encourage them in that ministry. Don't just assume that they already know it. Tell them. It makes a big difference. Timothy needed that encouragement and we all need that encouragement in our lives. Here's the third thing. Show each other, and this is what Paul does to Timothy. He says, God is already at work in your life. He's been at work for so long in your life. Remember when you were young, how you were inputted into by your grandmother, and remember how you've grown in your faith, and remember how you've been anointed, and you've got gifts on your life, and God's doing this in your life. Remember all these things. We need to remind each other what God is doing. Because it's so easy to forget how much the next challenge in front of you or the next thing that God is calling you to and you're going, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And, you know, there's some weeks I think, oh, God, I don't know if I can do what you've called me to do in the future. But then God reminds me of how he's led me in the past. And then I go, yeah, that's right. If God's been there for me all that way, why would he drop me now? He's not going to do that. Some of you really need to hear that today. That God's not going to abandon you. He's taken you this far on the journey. He won't let you down now. Hear me today. Hear the word of God. God will not let you down. He has you in his arms. He will get you through. He will take you on to the next thing. And Timothy needed to hear this. In a place where he was going, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Paul's coming along and saying, you can do this. You can stand up to these guys. You can work this out. This is what God is currently doing in you. Celebrate that. And sometimes a good time of year to do this is to look back on the year that's been and go, okay, how did God move in my life in 2019 and how's that preparing me for 2020? A couple of months ago, Joel and I were in Fiji and I was just sharing with some of the key leaders in the churches there about our journey that we've gone on as a church over the last few years. And as I was sharing it, I was going, actually, this is pretty cool what God has done. You know, there's three locations across the city. But you just get so wrapped up in life that you miss it sometimes. And you just miss how good it is what God has done in my life and in my family and the church and in relationships. And sometimes it's good to just remind yourself. And not only just remind yourself, but let other people encourage you and remind you of what he's doing. And help you see what you might be missing. Imagine if we have a church like that. Imagine if we have an environment that cultivates caring for each other and praying for each other. An environment where we believe in each other, where there's that expression of, hey, you can do this. I believe that you can do more than what you're currently doing. I can see the potential in you, and I want to walk with you in reaching that potential. Imagine if we give each other words of encouragement where we remind those around us of what God's done in their life, how faithful he's been and how faithful he will be. That's a place, that's a refreshing place to be. That becomes refreshing relationships around our lives where it's meaningful, it's heartfelt, it's deep and it's refreshing. I need that. You need that. We all need that. Don't be a person that isolates yourself. And when you go through a difficult time, you kind of go away into the corner and hide. Share it with others. Share your struggles. And let others gather around you and give you that care, give you that support, give you those words of encouragement that you need.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.